It is playoff time.
Larson has the advantage. Here comes the 18. He puts the ball back.
16 drivers battle for NASCAR's ultimate prize, but only one will be called champion.
And there's the gap between one and two. Kyle Busch. And here comes Larson. Larson to the bottom of the track.
Under the lights of the nighttime sky on the beaches of Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Time to put your armor on, tighten those seatbelts, because we're about to go three wide on the track.
Kurt Busch right up in front of the 42. Now he moves out of the way.
Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Yo, y'all know what time it is. Boys and girls, Three Wide with NASCAR Podcast, EG3. It's on the airwaves, EG3. Here with you guys once again for another edition, the Road to Kansas Speedway. Second elimination race of the NASCAR playoffs rolls on this Monday night here in Manhattan, Kansas. Here in a couple of minutes, we should be joined by Mick Rose, Mondays with Mick. I decided to change things up a little bit, you know, do my part, do my recording, my post-recording as usual, and then, of course, with our adventure to Kansas, split it with Mick Rose. So the red light has not gone off yet. He'll be joining us here shortly for Mondays with Mick. We'll talk with him here for a little bit about Rovo and going on to the next round. I'm sure Mick is pretty excited about that. Before we talk about him more, obviously, the post-race playoff pod will be up as well, along with this one as well. Stay tuned to your iTunes. If you have not subscribed to the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, I encourage you to do that. We're around into these playoffs. We're going to the round of 12. My driver's going on, advancing to the round of 12. So do get on that right now. If you have not done that, obviously, Three Wide NASCAR Podcast. Mentioned iTunes already. We're on Audioboom, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Deezer. You can find it anywhere. And, of course, you can follow me at @ThreeWide_FastEddie on Twitter as well. But this weekend, folks, it was something else. I didn't watch, again, like I mentioned, the post-race pod. I did not watch much of the Xfinity due to watching K-State losing to Texas in person, but watching highlights and Chase Briscoe winning that, and of course the big story coming out of the Roval, obviously Ryan Blaney coming in the final spot in the transfer, comes through in the clutch, escaping the spinning cars of Jimmy Johnson. Well, I should say wreck cars of Jimmy Johnson and Martin Truex Jr. to win there. I am still laughing, so stunned that even happened out there on the racetrack, but hey, it is what it is. And yeah, I like I told Big D off the air, I'm shocked that I did not throw out more cuss words than I threw yesterday, because that situation there, I talked about on the post race pod about me, you know, being on the flip side of that, getting the win taken away. I can't imagine, you know, the 48 fans and what they feel. Obviously, there were a lot of shade thrown on Twitter. I'm not gonna get a part of that, so don't at me. I'm not gonna respond to it. So, you know, I'm not gonna get into a bitching war with you guys about, you know, Martin Truex, you know, wrecking y'all guys afterwards and all that other stuff, because you were in that position. I guarantee you, Jimmy Johnson would have did the same thing to Martin if Martin went into the corner hard and tap Jimmy Johnson or whatever for the win or whatever, and I guarantee Jimmy Johnson was in the heat of the moment. That's easily, 100% easily guaranteed, in my opinion, and he was about that. You know, it's race playoff time, baby. You can't give points away. And here in this case, Jimmy Johnson threw it away pretty much. All that he worked hard for, gone in one instant on the final corner, couple of corners of the racetrack, and now you're just going to be racing, looking at other guys racing for a championship while you have to wait at least another year and chasing, quote-unquote, chasing eight. But that's a wrap for this year, and I ain't matching that. I mean, I saw something about a replay earlier while I was taking a break on Twitter, a slow-mo of the wreck between Jimmy and Martin Truex Jr. sometimes you get lucky with that, and he got lucky. It was good. I admit that, but yeah, it took quite a while to see Ryan Blaine in that slow-mo video for him to even come in the picture. That's the gap that those two put on, Jimmy Johnson and Martin Truex Jr. put on there with the race really literally settled for himself. The red light's going off. Mondays with Mick is about to go live right now. Here we go, baby. Mick Rose is about to join us right now. Mick Rose from Junction City. What's going on, Mick? How you doing? Oh, not too bad at all after what happened yesterday. Mick, what are your first thoughts at what took place over the weekend at the Roval?
Talking about the finish?
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about both races overall.
Overall?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was not as crazy as it was believed, you know. It was, you know, tamer than I thought. That was the,
yeah,
until the end. But
yeah, that's why I said I was very kind of surprised at the, I don't know, the lack of, I won't say the lack of insanity, but yeah, very surprised that we didn't see a lot more out there than we did, especially with the Xfinity Series race. It was very tame. I know with the Stage 3 crash, but other than that, it was very tame from my side. But now we can talk about the finish. That crazy finish yesterday between Martin Truex Jr. and Jimmy Johnson, and then Ryan Blaney sneaking through the carnage and grabbing is a much-needed win for that 12 car.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest, I didn't even know Ryan Blaney won at the moment. That was totally lost to me, because I was trying to figure out, now, did Jimmy Johnson knock himself out, and did that put Kyle Larson in? You know, there was too many things going on. I totally forgot about who won the race. I wasn't even paying attention.
Yeah, my thoughts, exactly, yeah, exactly, yeah. I was too wrapped up in what happened with Truex getting, unfortunately, taken out there by the 48, and then, yeah, I didn't even know Ryan Blaney was in third, to be honest with you. I'm right there with you, and he restarted, I believe, fifth and got the third. I wasn't even paying attention to that, but yeah, that really kind of caught me by surprise that Blaney kind of came out of there, in my opinion, and won this race. I mean, he had a fast car. He won stage two, but I guess right place at the right time. When the leaders banging each other, you got to be right there when it counts. Kind of like that truck race in their playoffs where teammates got into each other and Justin Haley won the race.
Yeah, and but yeah, I was totally lost that Ryan Blaney had won the race at first. There was so much going on right there at the finish that I didn't even grasp who had won the race, actually, you know. I was, you know, counting points and trying to figure out, and I still thought Larson was out of it at that point,
man.
You know.
Yeah, right to my next point, yeah, man. Yeah, Kyle Larson, that's got to be range of motions for your driver there. He had probably one of the dominant cars of the race, if not the dominant car of the entire day, winning the opening stage. And then a complete 180 gets caught up with Brad Keselowski pretty much leading some of the field to the Great Wall of China there. Hard impact there. And unfortunately, Kyle Larson got involved there. And yeah, he looked to be in doom right there until Jimmy Johnson there basically took himself out of advancing to the next round.
Yes, it was an eventful, from seven laps to go, it just became total chaos throughout the whole race.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Definitely one of the, put in the category of fantastic finishes of 2018, that's for sure. And along, yeah, I was kind of, after Truex and Johnson got involved with their deal there, yeah, I turned my attention to the points. I wasn't concerned about the Blaney win, but yeah, I was really focused in on, was Kyle Larson in? Was Jimmy Johnson there still going to get in, even though with the contact there? And the thing was with Jimmy Johnson, Mick, he did all that he was supposed to do. He had a fast car, had stage points, got stage points in both stages, and he was right there to advance. Obviously, he said, like he said, he wanted to go for the win there. Is there a regret for Jimmy Johnson there not to, I don't know, race Truex a little cleaner there, or was he right there to go for the win? I know, obviously, he hadn't won in a long time.
The smart move, big picture racing, he probably shouldn't have went, you know, just stayed in second, but I prefer the fact that he tried it. You know, that as a fan, you know,
yeah.
I understand if you're a Truex fan, you're probably irritated. If you're a Jimmy Johnson fan, you might be irritated, but the fact, because if he would have stuck that move, you know, people would have cheered. They would have said, you know, that's what racing's about. You got to go for it. So, I don't know. I enjoyed the fact that he tried it. I mean, he's a 7-time champion. He doesn't have anything to prove to anybody, but he still went for it. So, wins are important.
Yeah. Yeah, in day and age now, yeah. In the format that we're in, yeah, wins are definitely important. Yeah, you can call me in as one of the irritated ones from yesterday. Yeah. But I get it. I understand. 25% of me understands that, yeah. Jimmy Johnson is right there on the back bumper of Truex there. You have it right there in front of you. And, yeah, if he sticks that, he's basically a hero. And we're talking about momentum for Jimmy Johnson. Advancing to the next round. And not only that, you got one of your best racetracks coming up in Dover. And all of a sudden, we're talking about Jimmy Johnson in the conversation as possibly a threat to get to back to Miami.
Correct, yep.
Yeah, so crazy. That's just a crazy turn of events there with Jimmy Johnson. And then with him being eliminated, the other big name that's eliminated, Denny Hamlin. Just a nightmarish round of 16 for him. I don't know what happened with Denny Hamlin and this team, but it was just a long weekend for that 11th team.
Yeah, it's qualifying, you know, that didn't go. And then, but it wasn't just this week. It's been, you know, I don't know, maybe he's feeling the pressure, you know, his teammates winning and he's not. I do not know.
Yeah, and one of the other things to follow now that these two guys are out, Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin, of note, still have not won this year. And these guys, I believe, have won every year in their NASCAR Cup career, pretty much. So it basically comes down to 7 more races left for these guys to try to get a win. Mick, who has a better chance of getting that win before the season wraps up?
Well, Jimmy Johnson is really, really good at Dover, and Denny Hamlin's a pretty good restrictor plate race. So if Jimmy Johnson doesn't win at Dover, then I will go with Denny Hamlin at Talladega. And then I don't think any one of them has a chance to win after that. You know, those are the two shots, I think.
And also, I would, from this side of the sideline, would throw in, for at least for Jimmy and Denny, if they're on top of their A game, Martinsville. That round of 8, that I think somebody's got, one of those two got a chance there. But yeah, after that, yeah, I don't think Denny Hamlin, you don't know what you're going to get out of that 11, especially Denny Hamlin, the good Denny Hamlin or the inconsistent Denny Hamlin. Jimmy Johnson, in my opinion, right now, has a little mojo, even though now that he's eliminated, he has nothing to lose now. He can go out and try to get a win. And I think Jimmy Johnson has a better opportunity to get that than Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin, to me, is night and day, in my opinion.
Yep. And I would agree with you on Martinsville, but it being an elimination race in the playoffs, I don't know how aggressive they want to be, you know, because they don't want to be the guy who took a playoff guy, you know. Denny Hamlin took Chase Elliott out. I don't think it's an elimination race, but it's in the third section.
Yeah, it's the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you don't want to be part of the story there. So I do not know, maybe, you know, but you're right. They're both really good on the on Martinsville.
You're listening to 3Y NASCAR Podcast with Mick Rose. Mondays with Mick on the 3Y NASCAR Podcast. So we talked about Jimmy Johnson and Denny Hamlin. Now let's get the other half. Eric Jones came in hot in his playoffs, but luck and circumstances didn't fall his way. He is eliminated from the playoff picture. And Austin Dillon, who came in on points, he had a rough, these young guys had a rough, rough time at the Roval this weekend. Austin Dillon had that good run last weekend, now is out of the playoff picture.
Yep, he was praised last week, you know, and went back to the, you know, where everybody thought, you know, well, I think Austin Dillon will be out in the first round, you know, and then last week we're like, well, maybe he'll move on, and then he went right back to being eliminated.
Yeah, I thought, so part of me thought for a minute that Austin Dillon, hey, man, this guy's got a chance to make it to the next round, but with the unknown of this Roval and his, at the averages, this road course average this year, I didn't think he was going to get in, make it out of the Roval, let alone leave as one of the 12 drivers still in the playoff mix. Going forward, staying with the bubbles, it was just crazy those last few laps. And I thought for sure it's going to be a few mileage game up until Ricky Stenhouse knocked the wall down to set up the chaos. But it was just crazy. Bowyer was 2 points up. He had Bowman out at one point. Almirola had an adventurous day. It was crazy yesterday.
Yes, I think not only was the course challenging, and then you had the who was going to run out of fuel, who was saving enough, who was in, who was out. You just had there was it just made for a perfect scenario. You know, you had everything going on.
Yeah, that is for sure. And give kudos to Marcus Smith and changing things up for their second Charlotte race, because that mile and a half, you know, you see guys strung out and you see the leader obviously to get a big-ass lead and nobody can't catch him. But here, in this case here, Marcus Smith and Charlotte Motor Speedway hit, in my opinion, a home run with the uncertainty, especially towards the end, and the excitement for this race.
Yeah, I totally enjoyed it, and I wouldn't mind if this was a regular part of the schedule.
Yeah, indeed. So we'll have to see going forward. But yeah, definitely, in my opinion, I think the Roval should stay put where it is. It's just exciting racing all the way around. Now, Mick, the round of 12, we re-rack them pretty much, setting the stage up. You got Kyle Busch, obviously the big three still in there. Keselowski, who had a chance to win this race until he ran into the tire wall there. Bowyer advances, Logano, Kurt Busch, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, Eric Almirola, and Alex Bowman there is the last seed in the round of 12. Who has a chance here? Looking at, just focusing on the bubble here between, say, 8th through the end of the playoff bracket now. Who has a chance here to make some noise? We got Dover this weekend, Talladega, the unpredictability of that racetrack, and then, obviously, we got Kansas waiting the wings here in a couple weeks.
Man, I was talking about this earlier, but I think Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, you know, Martin Truex, Brad Keselowski, they're pretty much safe. But all of the other ones, I mean, this is a solid top 12, you know?
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if any of them move forward. But the problem is, it's going to go to Talladega, and who has the biggest problems at Talladega? Because, you know, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex can afford to have troubles at Talladega. Everybody else?
Can't.
You know, you have to hope somebody else has problems if you have problems. So, I think everything will hinge on Talladega, because it's going to be an eventful race. I think that's going to be the deciding factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. You're spot on. Yeah, man. I'm already, even with the Roval yesterday, I'm already thinking about Talladega and what unpredictably could happen over that race. And also, kind of the bounce off that a little bit, going back, you can't have problems at Dover either, because the Monster Mile has its own trickery as well. You get caught up in that, and you go get Talladega caught up in mess, then you're really in trouble. So for me, again, I've been saying it since the playoffs started, this is reset. You can't have problems in the first race. And if you do, you have to rely on Talladega. And if you can't get a good finish at Talladega, you got to go to the Mount Half in Kansas and try to make something happen there. So Dover presents its own challenges. But yeah, Talladega, I think whoever escapes there with the least amount of trouble and has a good run at Dover this weekend has a good chance of moving on through to the next round.
Yes, it's a... Yeah, you can. The other ones, from Clint Bowyer back, are just not separated by enough points where you can afford to have a bad race.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, so now, that's now with 16 drivers, you can probably have a little bit of breathing room, but now the field's been cut in the one-thirds now, and we're down to 12 drivers, a good 12 drivers. Yeah, you can't make a mistake and expect to recover with these racetracks. Flipping over to
from 12th to 5th, they're only separated by 15 points. That's it for the gap.
Yeah, that's not a gimme. That's really tight. So definitely things getting interesting. And flipping the script to the Xfinity series here real quick. Chase Briscoe getting his first win in the Xfinity series. What are your thoughts on that?
Man, I enjoyed it. You know, I'm a dirt fan anyways, and Chase Briscoe came from that kind of background, so I've seen him race down at the Chili Bowl and a few other places, so I enjoyed seeing him. I'm a fan of Chase Briscoe.
Yeah, and Chase Briscoe winning at Eldora earlier this year. So Briscoe's got a couple of good trophies in his back pocket. And also, let's not forget him winning the final truck race for Brad Keselowski Racing at Homestead a couple years ago. So Briscoe's got some good hardware in his house.
Yeah.
And looking at the bubble drivers here, one name that kind of surprised me a little bit is Justin Allgaier in his start to these playoffs. And he just can't get away from Austin Cindric. I mean, every time Justin Allgaier tries to make something happen, there's that 22 car around. And Austin Cindric won the pole for this race. He finished third, and he's behind the cut line now, but you got Ross Chastain, who's back in the four car now, draws an interesting scenario going to Dover. Allgaier and Elliott Sadler are like 11 points above the cut line, if I'm not mistaken. That's not really enough room. And yes, Allgaier did win at Dover despite the penalty afterwards, but does Allgaier, who moves forward to next round?
Ooh. Man, I do not know. I think Justin Allgaier will make it. But I think with Ross Chastain being back in the four, I believe Austin Cindric will probably jump him.
Woo! that's a tough one to call for me. Yeah, man, that's going to be tight. Ross Chastain I know he's going to drive his guts out, but yeah, Austin Cindric has the better equipment, and yeah, on paper, he has the better equipment on paper. But yeah. I think for Cindric to move on, he's going to have to not make boneheaded mistakes for him to move on. Either getting a wreck.
Yeah, that's hard for him to do.
Or something. I mean, yeah, he's with Penske. He says that he's with the best equipment in the garage, but he's going to have to drive a good, perfect race if he's going to move on to next round.
Yeah.
All right. So, go ahead.
The only thing about the Roval for the Xfinity race was, I think it has to be longer.
Yeah,
I think that was the only downside to the Roval in the Xfinity race was that it was just too short. So tires never made a difference. There was no fuel strategy. It just didn't seem like there was enough time for anybody to do anything.
Yeah, I was surprised about how many laps it was. 55, that wasn't even enough there. They should at least...
Yeah, the last stage of the Cup race was 59.
Ooh, yeah. So...
Yeah.
So hopefully they can get that figured out for next year. I know. Yeah, I was like, that's just gonna be a short race. So
yeah.
And indeed, it was a short race. So hopefully they can make it a little longer for the Xfinity guys next year. I want to get your thoughts on Silly Season before I let you go. So now in the Xfinity series, we got Noah Gregson replacing Elliott Sadler next year. What are your thoughts on that move?
I think he's bringing sponsorship, so I think that's what they were looking for, somebody who was going to bring sponsorship to the team, and they got that. Do I think he was the best available driver out there? No, but it's like Dale Jr. said, you know, Ross Chastain probably wouldn't get a chance, you know, because he needs the backing, so.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep, that's the feel. Yeah, that's the feel of Ross
Chastain. Tough breaks of racing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the feud with Ross Chastain, like I discussed a little bit on last week's episode. And in the Cup Series, obviously, some pieces are starting to come together here. In this case, Allmendinger gets the boot of the 47, and Ryan Preece moves into this ride for JTG Doherty. Open, from what a couple of my friends told me, was a little surprising to see Preece in this move. Is it too soon for Ryan Preece, even though he has won in the Xfinity Series, due to his counterpart, Daniel Hemric, who's in the 31 next year?
Yeah, I don't think it, because a lot of people forget that Ryan Preece ran a full season in the Xfinity Series with JD Motorsports.
That's right, yeah. That's right, yeah.
You know, so he has ran an entire season, so, and then he did the part-time in the Joe Gibbs stuff, so.
That's right. That's a good refresher.
I think he's ready.
Good refresher right there. I didn't think about that. Yeah. So Preece goes in there, and then, of course, Richard Childress promoting from within and gives Daniel Hemric the opportunity. I like this move to get the 31 car.
Yeah, I think Daniel Hemric might be the best driver at RCR when it'll take him a little while to figure out the Cup cars, but I think, you know, when Austin Dillon was racing in the Xfinity Series, it looked like Daniel Hemric was running just as good, if not better, than him when they were in like equipment, you know, sharing Xfinity stuff. So I think it's a good move for RCR.
Yeah, and Daniel Hemric did a great job overall this weekend at the Roval. Showed some speed in that 8 car, not Cup car, and in stage 1 there. So Daniel Hemric's coming on, but at some point, obviously the mark on him, though, at some point he's going to reach victory lane, hopefully by the end of the year for him. So,
yep.
So there is that. All right, Mick. We're going to Dover. What is going to happen in this first round of the round of 12?
Oh, I don't know. I think we will have a victory winner. coming out of there. I think that will be the story again. You know, the big three are back on top. I just think they have something, and that will show again at Dover.
Yeah, that I like that. Yeah, even though Harvick had a quiet top 10, wasn't really in the picture all day at the Roval, I think this is a track that he's dominated, especially in the postseason. And Kyle Busch has won there in the playoffs last year. He's the defending winner. And Truex has won there in the playoff format also. So, and Truex got a lot of speed right now. So these guys are going. And then you throw in, of course, Keselowski, Larson, these guys. You know, it's going to be an interesting show. I'm looking forward to it, especially with the momentum coming off of that Roval and what we saw there. This has the potential of being a good race also.
Yeah, I enjoy the Dover races. You know, I think it's always fun to watch. It's like a super fast Bristol, you know,
yeah.
An even faster Bristol.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. So looking forward to that. And obviously the Xfinity Series is in elimination mode this weekend at Dover as well. Well, Mick, fun times as always, man. Thanks for talking to me today, and let's do this again next week.
All right, and enjoy.
All right, appreciate it, man.
Yep.
That, my friends, Mick Rose joining me from Junction City, recapping a little bit of what took place yesterday in the Cup race. And I did not mention the post-race episode of EG3 Helmet Stickers. I'm going to get to that right now before wrapping up this show. Let's get on to it. Of course, EG3 Helmet Stickers of the week: Chase Briscoe, Justin Marks, Cass Gralla, EG3 Helmet Stickers, and Marks. Justin Marks, his final race in the NASCAR division, in the Cup Series. Ryan Blaney gets one. Jamie McMurray, a stunning runner-up place finish. And Alex Bowman getting a much-needed top five for him, moving on to the next round of the round of 12. That is your EG3 Helmet Stickers of the week: Chase Briscoe, Justin Marks, Cass Gralla, Ryan Blaney, Jamie McMurray, and Alex Bowman, EG3 Helmet Stickers of the week. You can follow me at 3Wide_FastEddie. Again, my Twitter handle is at 3Wide_FastEddie. And like I talked about earlier, before we chatted with Mick there for a little bit, you can find the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. You know where to find us: Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom, and more. Man, this has been a good show. Mondays with Mick. You like that. Y'all like that. Decided to change it up a little bit. Do a separate segment. The Road to Kansas continues next on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Coming up, we will re-rack the field. The round of 12 has been set. And going to Dover, who is going to be the players in this one? Stay tuned to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast this week for another episode. Stay tuned also to your notification bell for both the post-race playoff pod of the Roval and this one, Mondays with Mick, on iTunes, coming up tomorrow night and Wednesday. Should be a good one. But Big D, let's wrap this thing up. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Thank you, Big D, for sticking around. I'm your host, Eddie Greer III, EG3, saying thank you once again for tuning in to another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. And one more time, congratulations to those that advanced to the next round and the Xfinity Series eliminations race this weekend at the Monster Mile. We out.
To the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Be sure to stay tuned for next episode. Who's moving on and who will be left out? Catch us next time going 3Wide.